And I thank you, Father, for your call and anointing upon me to minister your word. And we will give you the glory and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to share with you a little while this evening concerning the working of faith. The working of faith. Now, in Mark chapter 11 here, a number of things take place here in this 11th chapter. So we're not going to cover all of it tonight. But on the way into Jerusalem, Jesus got hungry. He wanted some food. And so he saw this fig tree, and the fig tree had leaves on it. But when he went over to the tree, he found out that there were no figs on this tree. And we could go into that a little more, but I'll move on. There were no figs on the tree. And of course, went on into Jerusalem. The next day, came back by, they saw the same fig tree. But this fig tree had, well, first of all, let me back up. I skipped something. When Jesus saw that the fig tree had no figs, he cursed it by saying that you won't ever have any figs again. You will not bear fruit from this day forward. Amen. Now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand. I don't think anybody in here would, but maybe some that young in the things of God, or maybe not saved at all. But when Jesus cursed the fig tree, he did not use profanity like we think of cursing today. Okay? I think I need to make that clear. Amen. He just spoke to this fig tree. Announcing to this fig tree that it would never produce fruit again. So when they came back by the next day, they found out that the fig tree had withered. Died. And the disciples was amazed at this. Okay? They were amazed. And then Jesus used this to teach them a lesson, a valuable lesson. And it's a lesson that we too must learn. So, having said that, I want to pick it up at verse 22. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll begin reading at verse 20. It says, "Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And so Jesus responded to Peter's statement by saying in verse 22, so Jesus answered and said to them, not just to Peter, but to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Have faith in God. And so he went on in verse 23. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Did you grab that? Hallelujah. Now, at my age, you know, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of people, fellowship with a lot of people, pray for a lot of people over the years. And I find that many times, even after you pray for folks sometimes, you pray for them and you believe God on their behalf, or you may come in agreement with them concerning something that they are dealing with, and you pray, and later on you hear them talking about their condition or whatever it is they're dealing with, and they're talking totally opposite from what we prayed about. Totally opposite of what we agreed on. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, words are powerful. Now, words, I want you to understand something. We all have to deal with this. Do I have your attention? Most words, especially negative words, words that contradict God's word, words that contradict what we are supposed to be believing for, believing God for, most words come from our emotion. Now, you can raise your hand if you want to, but you don't have to. But I'm going to ask the question. How many of you have been standing in faith for something, but someone said something or something happened and it affected you emotionally? Maybe you got angry. Maybe your feelings was hurt. And negative words came out of your mouth. We got some honest folks in here. Maybe you've been prayed for, and someone is standing with you for your healing. But all of a sudden, you have this pain. And rather than standing in faith, you get upset and you say something contrary to what the Word of God says about you. See, we have to control our emotions. We have to control our emotions. And when we say something contrary to the Word of God, we need to go back and say, Lord, I repent of what I just said. Amen. Sometimes you get impatient. And you get aggravated. And what comes out of your mouth? Negative words contrary to what you need. I'm tired of being poor. We're never going to have anything. Nothing works for me. Everything I try falls apart. Oh, man or woman of faith. Don't let yourself get frustrated when you believe in God. Let me say that again. Don't allow yourself to become frustrated when you believe in God. And now let me say something else to you. If frustration... Or let me say it this way. If you find yourself getting frustrated, keep your mouth shut. Amen. Don't say anything that's contradicting what you believe in God for. So here's the thing. Words come as a result of our emotion, and usually those are negative words, non-productive words, actually it's destructive words. But our words should come as a result of our faith. Speaking our words based on what we believe. Speaking our words based on what the Bible says. And I'll be honest with you. Can I be honest and transparent? There have been times in my life that maybe something didn't happen the way I thought it was. You get aggravated and you find yourself saying the wrong thing. And my wife had put, watch your words. Now, us men, we have to be really controlled. Because sometimes if our wife tells us to watch our words, we won't shoot back at them, tend to your own business. Mind your own business. Leave me alone. Am I being real with you tonight? But it's the truth. We got to watch our words. We got to watch our words. Let the words that come out of your mouth be faith-filled words. Let me say that again. Let the words that come out of your mouth be faith-filled words. Not emotion-filled words. But faith-filled words. So, we see here, as Jesus was teaching them, he said, back at verse 23, Mark 11, he said, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." In other words, what Jesus didn't say, whatever mountain you may be facing in your life, you know, what he didn't say was, well, like some of us do sometimes, I've been talking to that old stupid mountain for 2 weeks now and it's still there. I'm tired. I'm done with it. No, Jesus said, you speak to the mountain, whatever your mountain is, whatever situation you're dealing with in your life, you speak to it. Why? Because God has given us as believers authority to deal with situations and circumstances concerning us. Amen. Look at somebody. I'm not just wasting your time here. Look at somebody and tell them out loud, I am a person of authority. Tell them, say, I have God-given authority. Say this, say, God has called me to be an overcomer in this life. Hallelujah. God's not weak. Why would he have a bunch of weaklings? So now, let me read this again. There's a couple of things I want you to grab a hold of here before we move on. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, Jesus also talks about our heart condition. You have heard folks say, oh, he has a heart condition, or she has a heart condition. Well, now, we know that they're talking about the physical heart. But we have a heart condition too, either good or bad. Notice what Jesus said. But believe that those things, well, let me back up. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Does not doubt in his heart. Has nothing to do with your head. You hear me? Listen to me, church. We must get the word of God on the inside of us. The devil will send thoughts through your mind. You hear me? The devil will send thoughts through your mind. That's the reason we can't depend on our emotion. But Jesus said, if we believe in our heart, not basing it on how we feel, not basing it on what things look like, but basing it on what God's word says, we're getting God's word in our heart. And you know how you get God's word in your heart. I tell you all the time, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We all must consume the word of God and get it down in there. Whatever is in there is going to come out. What's in there is coming out. If it's in there, it's coming out. Glory be to God. Now, think about that for a moment. But Jesus spoke these words. And I'm going to read it to you probably four or five times, but I want you to get this verse, Mark 11, 23, in your heart. For surely I say to you, Jesus said, I said it to you, whoever says to this mountain, whatever that mountain is, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. So what Jesus is actually saying is, you can say it, but if you're doubting in your heart, it's not going to move. You know, sometimes folk just blurt out stuff. They don't really believe what they're saying. They just blurt stuff out. But Jesus said, we got to believe it in our heart. And if we believe it in our heart, whatever we said, he said, it will be done for us. Are you still here? Amen. Now, here's the thing. Go a few more minutes. Here's the thing. Listen to me real good. When we consume the Word of God, things take place on the inside of us. Are you listening to me? I know I'm going kind of slow here, but that's okay. When we deposit the Word of God on the inside of us, it doesn't just lay there dormant. Remember, you got to get it in here, not just up here. You got to get it in here. And when you get it in here, things begin to happen. Change begin to take place. Let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about. You've heard me quote this verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. But when you get that word that we just quoted on the inside of you, it will explode on the inside of you when you need it. You know, we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of them is the gift of faith. One of them is the gift of faith. But you know what? When you have the Word of God on the inside of you and you can be facing an enemy, something can happen unexpectedly, and all of a sudden the Word of God come up out of you, that supernatural faith come up out of you, and you will stand your ground. You'll stand your ground. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Glory to God. Why? Because you have something on the inside of you, which is the Word of God. It's working on the inside of you. It's changing us. Where before we were fearful and always nervous and giddy and not knowing what to do and worried about tomorrow, but all of a sudden, now that we're full of the Word of God, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know our God's in tomorrow, and we're going to be all right. Hallelujah. Think about it for a moment. I'm looking at a lot of you in here. You're my age, or very close to my age. And I'm sure over the years there have been situations or circumstances that you have faced and you thought, man, naturally thinking, there's no way out of this time. Wow. How are we going to make it out of this? But yet, you're sitting here this evening, and you made it. You made it. Some of you made it. You don't know exactly how God did it, but you just know he did it. You don't exactly know how the situation changed, but you know it changed. Are you still here? So, verse 24, let me read this to you. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, are you to hope that you receive them? Are you to hope you receive them? What? Believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, I want to, and I'm probably not going to get finished this evening because I'm not planning on going very long. We'll revisit this again if we need to. But I want us to take a look at into the Word of God at some things that activates our faith, that makes our faith work. Now, one of them we find here in the 11th chapter of Mark, where Jesus said, well, let me read verse 24. He says again, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And, everybody say and. Say it again.
And.
Well, let me tell you something about that three-letter word, and. The word and is connected, is connecting what's about to be said to what was just said. Verse 24 again, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You see that word and there? Believe that you receive them. If you believe that you receive them and you will have them, right? But we go on into verse 25, it says, and again, and whenever you stand praying, whenever you stand praying, now Jesus is talking about prayer in verse 24, and whenever you stand praying, now he told us about our words, right? And now he's talking about prayer. He says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Let me tell you something. The lack of forgiveness, being unwilling to forgive, will hinder your faith. Amen. It will hinder your faith. It will hinder your receiving from God. I want to tell you something, folks. When I first began to hear that preached and study it myself, I hurry up and examine myself. Because I'm not going to have anything against anybody. I'm not going to carry that burden with me. Because it's going to hinder me receiving from God. It's going to hinder God's blessings in my life. It's going to hinder God's promises to me. simply because I refuse to release someone for something they did or said. Folks, it ain't worth it. We walk around holding grudges against folks that we don't like. They don't like us. But we're allowing them to hinder our blessings. Because there's static in the line. You ever tried to talk on your phone and they're static? The call drops. When the call drops, you can't communicate. There's stuff out there that's interfering with your call. We need to deal with that. I want to tell you something. If you are born again, you can love everybody. You can do it. God has given us the ability to do it. We have to make the decision that we're going to do it. That's one of the oldest tricks of the devil. He always bringing up stuff that divides, to bring division, causes hatred and bitterness, because he knows it's going to hurt us. It's going to hinder our blessing. We need to take the word of God at face value. When God says love one another, we need to love one another, period. I said period. Because it will hinder our faith. Amen. Don't you think it's mighty curious? I mean, I was curious that you read Mark 11, 23 and 24, where Jesus talks about moving mountains and speaking to the mountains and the mountains moving, and whatever you ask, and you know, and don't doubt in your heart, it's going to be done for you. But then he attached verse 25 to it. There's a reason for that, because it's very, very important. Are you still here? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to underline this in your Bible, or if you have your tablet, highlight it, if you haven't done it already. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avail anything." Neither being black, white, Asian, short, tall, none of that means anything. In other words, he's saying here, whether a person is circumcised under the Jewish law at that time, circumcised or uncircumcised. See, it doesn't avail anything. But what's important, Pastor? He tells us. But faith working through love. I believe the King James says, but faith that worketh by love. Am I right? First Corinthians chapter 13 tells us. That even if we had faith to move mountains, even if we fed the poor, whatever it is, even if we died, gave our life for someone, says if we didn't have love, it don't amount to anything. Brothers and sisters, faith worketh through love or by love. You want to activate your faith, and I'm not going into all of it. I hope you come back next Wednesday, because I want to deal with this again. I want to show you from the Word of God, from the Scripture, how faith works through love, by love. If you want to be, if you want to have great faith, if you want to have great faith, learn how to love. And if you have the Word of God on the inside of you, and that Word of God is working on the inside of you, you will be a person of love. You still here? Glory to God. I think I'm going to stop right here for tonight. We'll visit this again. The working of faith. How many of you want your faith to work in your life? I know I do. Amen. And let me ask the question this way. I'm not even indicating that your faith is not working, but how many of you want it to work better and be more effective? Amen? Because we all have different levels of faith, but I want my faith to be more effective. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will never, ever return to you void. But it accomplishes your will in our lives as we apply it to our lives. Hallelujah. And I just want to extend this invitation to anyone that's watching. If you have not received Jesus Christ into your heart,